the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
In Titus chapter 3, there's four action words that I looked at and I thought, man, this is powerful. And I want to share them with you. And then Jeff Chamblee and I will discuss this as Alex McFarland's on the road again. And but he'll be back tomorrow, far as we know. And if he doesn't get a delay in the airport and all the connections are right, we'll be good. But the action words, verse 1, remind. Then skip all the way down to verse 9. The rest of them are instructions about what to remind them. Avoid. Don't go there. Don't do this yourself. Verse 10 is even more. Reject. I mean, don't receive it. Don't receive it, but reject it. And then verse 13, a little bit, send. There were two men there that God was ready. Paul was ready to have them come to him, and he said, send them. So we want to look at those action words and everything in between it today, Jeff. But action words, what you do.
Yeah.
After teaching and preaching for years, 50 some odd years, you find certain things that you look for. Everybody knows I look for repeated words. Mm-hmm. And you look for conjunctions because they really do turn things. And then you look for action words.
Yep.
Those action words really precede information that we desperately need.
Yeah.
Guess what? That's what good teaching is even today. We have, you know, you should action points. A lot of times in sermons, different people do it different ways, but they'll preach a sermon and they'll say, okay, the action points are for you. In other words, you've worshiped, but worship's not complete until the work has commenced.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
You know, we at church, we worship the Lord, but Jesus was always sending them out right after that.
Yeah, that's very good. So, it sort of ties the whole passage
it
together.
It really does. Yeah, it really does.
That's
so
good.
Are you ready to dig in?
Yeah,
chapter?
I'm excited about this.
Okay.
Go.
How about you doing a lot of the reading today? Yeah, you want to read verses, I'd say 1-3 first.
Okay. Titus chapter 3. Paul writes to Titus, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. For we ourselves were also once foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hating and hating one another.
Okay, the reason I had you to stop there's a conjunction next. We're going to save it for last.
That's good.
But I know there's a lot of things that could grab you. But the one that grabs me, we also were once like them, you know?
Yeah, that's the reason.
And I think this is evangelistic. I think this is, you know, in other words, you need to show something different than those guys. And this is citizens, you know, obeying authorities over them. And he is saying you need to be a different kind of citizen. Not one that is contrary, not one that's looking a way to avoid or, avoid obeying the law, but do it right.
Yeah.
You catch what?
Yeah,
he
starts there with being subject to rulers and authorities. And as you think about the writings of Paul, actually, you're going to go back to Romans 13, where he gives a lot of time and space to this. It's important to obey the rulers and authorities. And Brother Bird, at this time in Rome, they weren't good people.
No, they weren't.
In an authority. But the believers were to be honoring to them, to be subject to them as good citizens, as you've said, to give an example to the people who would look at the church.
And they were suspicious of Christians anyway. And he said, I don't want to give them any more reason to be suspicious. I want them to see that. To obey. Now, okay, that is a... I do believe that you got to look at that. Obedience that does not break obvious God's law. There are some areas, you know, it's like a wife being subject to her husband. If a husband wants her to help him rob a bank, it's time for her to say, no, no. You catch, there's limitations on that that area. It's also limitations on obeying the law. They told Peter and John, don't you speak anymore in the name of Jesus. That was the authority. That was the law. And Peter said, we can't help but speak and say the things that we've seen and heard.
Yeah.
So
yep.
There's that. And what it says, you don't look for it. How can I show them disrespect? No, you want to show disrespect until the time comes where, like Martin Luther, when he, I can do no other. The authority over him, the Pope, all the authority, but he said, I can do no other. So there's that line. Would you call it a red line?
I think
cross.
So. And most of the times, it's not a matter of the those in authority putting something on Christians that would make them go against their faith. That's rare,
right.
Actually. I mean, we saw that in the COVID season with churches being told, do not meet.
Right.
And obviously, people chose to obey God rather than men. But most of the time, it's, are you going to pay your taxes?
Exactly.
Are you going to drive the speed limit?
Right.
Are you going to take something that doesn't belong to you?
That's the whole idea.
Those are those small things. We call them small things, but those are the things that most of us are facing.
Exactly. With. But it is that issue that sometimes we at American Family Association, we look at. Mm-hmm. We share alerts which gives danger of certain laws going into effect that would affect the church, affect believers, affect the family,
right.
And try to alert them. And so if they were passed, there's that line of demarcation. But yeah. Here, you're exactly right. He's talking about being good citizen, paying your taxes, obeying the laws that goes forth, to be ready for every good work. Mm-hmm. That being ready, look for the opportunity.
Yeah,
that's what the high ideal was, Jeff. Look for the opportunity to do these good works. Don't look for it.
That's good. And the word works, you're talking about words that stand out to you. The word works in this epistle stand out to me. It's used 7 times in this epistle. I think 4 times in chapter 3 alone.
Yeah.
And he differentiates between the works that we do out of being saved and the works that we don't perform to be saved. So he makes a distinction there. But the Christian is to be about doing good charitable deeds, works, as he says in this chapter.
Look for the opportunity to help someone.
Yeah.
Make sure you're helping them and not enabling them. Now, I know I'm coming up and like the obedience and say, okay, that's so far. And like helping people. A lot of times that help is enabling them to stay in their sin, to stay in their addiction. And three things. The Word of God first, the Holy Spirit of giving you strength and accountability and help from others to help you. Am I enabling or am I helping? And sometimes when you're in a relationship, it's hard for that person to know the difference. Am I enabling them or am I helping them? And again, there's that red line. Do you see why the Holy Spirit is so important in our lives, Jeff?
Well, you know, we wouldn't be Christians without the Holy Spirit.
We would not.
There's a good reason.
I don't know about you, but I'm desperate for him because my brain can go, okay, but, you know?
Yeah.
So God help me is my prayer. Help me to know and do and follow. Verse 3, speak evil of no one. In other words, man, listen. It's going to get. Let me go ahead and look at this, and
sure.
I got to bring it in. It talks about the kindness in verse 4. But when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, that word kindness just got me. So I reverted back. Speak evil of no man. Speak the truth in love.
Mm-hmm.
When you're to look at it, you're to know it, but speak the truth in love. Find a way to say it. And again, that's hard to do. I'm desperate for the Holy Spirit again, Jeff.
And you look at this culture where meekness was not valued. I mean, the Roman Empire didn't look favorably upon those who were kind and gentle. They were all about strength. Bert, I'm reminded of a lady that I go to church with, and we were in this conversation about how difficult it can be to work sometimes in a secular environment. She works to collect debts on the phone, and so she's dealing with a confrontational situation and sometimes very angry people, but she's a great believer, loves the Lord, and tries to lower the temperature of the conversation, to speak kindly, to explain things. And I thought about her when I was reading this chapter because we have opportunities that we can speak kindly and softly and gently to people that will make all of the difference.
That kindness. You don't find it a lot for, oh, God didn't call us to be kind. Yeah, he did. He did.
Yeah.
And then he talks about going on, showing all humility to all men. James talks about that preferential treatment for certain people, you know. No, humility for all. Put yourself in their positions. Put there in all humility in all men. In the Roman Empire, not quite as bad as India today to have all the
caste system.
Yeah, it's caste system. But yeah. Rome wasn't far from that. They had, you know, you was here, this one was here, and according to, well, you treat all men. The church would be made up of what? Male and female, rich and poor, slave, bond and free, you know?
Yeah.
It's amazing. The church, it was a completely different idea even in that day, Jeff, that all these people from different everywhere else would come together. Only Jesus.
Only in Christ can that happen.
Amen. Let it happen. Okay, I think we'll get through verse 3 here. For we ourselves were once foolish. Look at this list.
Yeah,
Paul is famous for his list. Now, I don't like this one. It's
not okay. One you want to have
That's
yourself.
Right. Foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving various lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. That's what we once were. And I didn't act that way. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you didn't act it out, I think the attitudes could be there. You know, even as a 12-year-old boy, I got saved as a 12-year-old boy. God really changed my life as a 12-year-old boy. And I could see the difference in my actions, but man, I had to bring every thought subject under the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm glad God put that in there, that we're to bring every thought under his power, Jeff. Mm-hmm.
That humble attitude that we're to have toward one another, speaking kindly, and the basis of that is because you remember what you were. You know, it promotes humility toward the unsaved. It promotes long-suffering and patience toward the unsaved when we remember, look, how long was God patient with me?
Oh, man.
How long did he bear with me? Now, let me bear with somebody. Let me be patient with somebody.
So if you want to measure up, say, has God done a work in my life and changed? Look at verse 3 and say, okay, God, that's who I am in my natural sense. Has God intervened through the indwelling Holy Spirit to bring me out and do this? Now, verse 4, but when the kindness of the love of God our Savior toward man appeared. But aren't you glad that conjunction's in there?
Yes.
Something happened. And what was it? According to verse 5, and we'll get back to this, the mercy of God. Man, the mercy of God on us, not to let us stay in that list. That's the whole idea. That's what it was, but I am not anymore. Why? Because of Jesus Christ. But when? In other words, there was a time. Don't miss the when. That's so important. When the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, it changed.
Everything changed.
And has that appearance, is that what they see in your life? The Lord Jesus Christ. Well, Jeff, we're going to continue on in chapter 3, and we're going to get to chapter 3, verse 5, and spend some time there. Is that all right with
you?
Sounds good. Hey, we'll be back in just a minute with Titus chapter 3. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That is why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on us. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps to rescue 5 babies. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Right now, want that mountain to move. Right now, want the ocean to part. Right now, God, I'm looking for you, and I'm wondering where you are. Why do I worry? God, I know you haven't failed me yet. Why do I worry? You prove it over and over again. Every time, Jesus.
Exploring the Word on American Family Radio, I'm Jeff Shambly with Bert Harper. It is great to have you along with us this afternoon. We're having a great study and conversation on Titus chapter 3. But before we get back into our study, I want to remind you that our Share-a-thon's coming up next month, and in preparation for that, we're collecting stories. If American Family Radio has been a blessing in your life, we'd love to hear about it. We've set up a toll-free number that you can call and leave a brief minute or two testimonial, and it could be that we would air that during Share-a-thon. So let me give you the phone number. You can call that and leave a brief testimonial about American Family Radio. The number is 877-876-8893. Once again, 877-876-8893. We'd love to hear if American Family Radio has been a blessing to your life.
Amen. Thank you, Jeff. Appreciate that. Verse 4 is still in the process of what he started out in chapter 3, verse 1. Remind, again, kindness, the love of God. Remind them that when this change took place, I need to be mindful of that God. Now, there's markers in my life. Over in the Old Testament, you'll find out that they talked about the markers of the land, but also God put markers in our life. Certain things happening, you know, and these markers usually demonstrate a change, something, you know, different. And so here it is, and it talks about the kindness and love of God, our Savior. And the change, what made the change from verse 3 to what they had experienced in the kindness and love of God? It wasn't works of righteousness, which we have done, but it was according to his mercy. He saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Jeff, when I see that, it wasn't my works. It wasn't my work. Yes, I can do works of righteousness, but my heart doesn't change, you know? Mm-hmm. And God's work does work complete within, that works its way outward. And he says, but I love the word, but according to his mercy. Now, I want to ask you this. How big is God's mercy?
It's infinite.
The change that he makes in our lives is what? According to his mercy?
According. It's equally as big.
It is.
Isn't that something?
So that means he can take the person who's listening today, and we have people that are incarcerated listening, and a lot of them, man, they've done some bad things. There's people that are listening, and they know where they are, and they're looking for help. According to his mercy, he can save us.
Yeah.
Is there some sin so bad that God's love is not deeper still and stronger?
Oh, that's so good.
It really, according to
his mercy.
A lot
of people are afraid they have sinned too much to be saved.
They really have.
And they think, well, I need to keep the moral law. I need to keep the Ten Commandments. Well, God never intended for you to be saved by keeping the Ten Commandments. You can't. As a matter of fact, it makes your sin worse if you try to do that, Paul says. But it's the coming to Christ in simple humility and saying, God, I'm condemned without you, and I have to have your salvation. So please take me. I believe in Christ. I give my life to you.
Yeah.
And God, at the moment of regeneration, puts his Holy Spirit in you, and this deliverance from a life of bondage to sin, the master of sin, the realm and domain of sin, is all taken away, and you are put in Christ so that you can bear fruit for God.
He makes all things new.
Yeah. It's that good.
And notice after that, according to his mercy, he saved us. I'm not sure how Paul reacted when he was writing, but when I was reading, but according to his mercy, He saved us. You catch? That's the only way. The only way. It couldn't have been works of righteousness, because Paul, I believe he went over that. You know, he was a Jew of the Jews.
Oh, listen, he had the
a Hebrew,
works.
You know. You know, he had done all those things. But no, that wasn't salvation. And but God's mercy, according to that, he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing the Holy Spirit. Again, the washing of regeneration and renewing, both of those are what? Of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit comes in. He indwells us. It's the cleansing power. What shall wash away my sin?
Yeah, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That song, nothing, only Christ. Mm-hmm. And so the renewing of the Holy Spirit, we need to renew ourselves each day, each morning. You know that scripture in Psalms, it says, early will I seek thee. Again, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, he brought us into this relationship. But after we get into this relationship with him, I want to bring up another song, a children's song. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jeff, I'm not going to bring up your age, but is he still working on you?
Oh, listen, Brother Bert. You know, you look back, I'm 62. You look back at where you were 20, 25, 30 years ago, and you think, well, how could I have even been saved?
Yeah.
The things that I thought, the ways that I acted toward people, and you see, and that's one of the great comforts of being a believer. That's one of the great assurances, because you say, I know I'm not what I used to be.
Amen.
And that's what, you know, I trust in what Christ did in his word, but I also know I am not what I used to be. And that's just, you can't doubt that. And that's why personal testimony is so powerful.
It is. Those of you who are listening, if you've never been born again, you need to do it today. And you receive salvation, a friend that sticks closer than a brother. The Holy Spirit of God comes in you. I use this illustration. You know, I was a wannabe basketball player. I played, but I didn't have the height nor the ability to do any further than high school. But in my brain, I wanted to. And I thought, well, if somebody could have come along and given me lessons. Well, I had a pretty good coach. I had others tell me. But God could do that. That's a guide. But if I had someone to come in, the ability to come into my body so that I could jump higher, you know, and have better vision over the basketball, the knowledge, man, I could make it. Isn't that what the Holy Spirit does in our life? He's not just outside pointing the way. He's in. It's called the indwelling. That's
And he makes you want to keep the law.
Yes, he does.
You know, God in Jeremiah 31, he speaks of the new covenant. One of the things he does is write the law in our heart. Well, we would not want to obey the law apart from the Holy Spirit, but the Spirit of God makes us want to obey the law because we love the Lord. The Spirit of God also teaches us his word. He explains it to us. He seals us. He intercedes for us as we're praying, and we don't know what we should pray for. The Holy Spirit interprets those prayers before the Father. Well, the Holy Spirit is everything, joining us to Christ and giving us that power to overcome sin.
Jesus said, I'm going to go away. But he said, I'm going to send the Comforter.
Yeah.
I can say, have you ever heard somebody, if I could have only walked with Jesus. And I said, okay, Jesus walked with him, what, side by side? Oh, yes, that would be so great. And I said, well, what about the Holy Spirit in us?
Yeah.
In us. I said, we haven't missed out on anything. We're going to see Jesus face to face one day. So we haven't. Now, notice this, verse 6. Are you ready to go to verse 6?
Yeah,
all right.
Let's go.
Whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Notice that. He poured us abundantly. Okay, go look at those two words, two A words. I look at them in verse 5, according to, and then in verse 6, abundantly. Man, it wasn't a drip, drip. I know, showers of blessing, you know. For the showers of blessing I plead, you know. Mercy drops are falling, but for the showers, the Holy Spirit is abundant. He comes in. Powerful. Now, here's the whole idea. How much of him do we let him have control? You know, he's got my heart. I need to bring every thought subject. That means that's a cooperation with him. God, I want you to have your indwelling spirit sin, but I want you to have every room of my life, every area. A lot of folks have a junk drawer, even a junk room. And when visitors come, they'll show them everything, but they don't show them that room. Well, the Holy Spirit needs to be in every area of our life. There's no area of my life that needs to be excluded that says off limits.
Yeah. And God will transform every area of your life. You know, he tells us to put off the old man with the corrupt nature and to put on the new man. This whole idea of renewing our minds and washing our, you know, being washed in the word. There's another word that is used for what the power of the scripture in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, it washes us. And so there's this cleansing, there's this deliverance. I'm reminded what you said about the abounding. You know, Paul said, where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. He uses that word much more. Whatever you have in had in Adam, you've got a lot more in Christ.
Amen. Read the book of Romans, those first few chapters, much and underline every time you come to the word much more. There's some really stuff there. Okay, that having been justified by his grace, here we have it, mercy and grace, those two, we should become heirs, there's that word, according to the hope of eternal life. Again, heirs of God, joint heirs. In other words, what Jesus has for us, we have.
Mm-hmm.
What God gave Jesus, we are heirs with him.
That's almost too
That's beyond big, my comprehension. It is bigger than, that's my words.
It's almost, you don't say unbelievable, but it stretches the imagination to think God would actually do that.
Yeah, it does. It does.
But he does, and it says it here that we are joint heirs with Christ. We are heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So you have something to live on now.
Okay. Hope. Aren't you glad? You know, we look at 1 Corinthians, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Mm-hmm. We talk about love a lot. We talk about faith a lot. But right there in the middle is hope.
Hope.
Man, the hope we have is in Christ alone. That's it. Nothing else brings that hope. And that hope is what? It's now, but also it's eternal.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's that. Because of this relationship that we have with Christ, our hope is secure, too.
And it's not a I hope so kind of hope. It is a confident assurance of what God has said is going to happen. It's going to be true. It's an assurance. It's not wishful thinking.
Man, these A words are according to, and you brought assurance in, you know, abundantly. You know, you just noticed the alphabet.
There's a sermon
like that.
Brewing.
There is a sermon. Okay, verse 8. Would you mind reading verses 8 through 11?
Yeah, here it is. This is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. But avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, and striving about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned.
Wow.
Strong
okay,
words.
It is. Going through verse 8, we find out, be careful to maintain, and there's the, you talked about it, starting works, maintain. Not our works of righteousness saves us, but we are to have good works that others would see Jesus in us. These things are good and profitable to men. Now, who's it profitable and meaningful to? Everyone. It's good for me. It's good for those around me, and it's for those that are watching me.
Yep.
When I am obeying the Lord, going back to that, being a good citizen, obeying the law, not acting like I was, like he said, foolish, meddling, you know, putting those things aside. You, like I said, the old man, putting those aside and bringing on the new man. Who profits? Just everybody profits from that.
Jesus affirms this in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. So why should you do that? Because other people are looking, and they can bring praise and worship to God when they see the good behavior of Christians.
I got to go to wind it real quickly. Good Samaritan.
Yeah.
Oh man, those two guys passed down when that guy was in the ditch. They had to go to church. I'm putting it in our vernacular, okay, Jeff? One of them had choir practice,
okay,
and the other had a sermon preparation. That doesn't that care? Yeah, you know, that takes care of both of us. But the Samaritan stops and helps. Now, Who was his neighbor, Jesus said. So doing good works, it may be important to take that dish over to that grieving widow. It may be important to volunteer to babysit for a mom that is going through difficulty. Have you ever heard a good action speaks louder than a good sermon sometimes, doesn't it?
It sure drives the point of the sermon home.
It really does.
When they see the work. Absolutely.
Okay. Avoid foolish disputes, genealogies, contentions, strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable. I think he's telling this, far as I could tell, verse 9, he said, Titus, avoid these things. Don't you get caught up in them.
Yep.
Don't you be a part of it. Don't you promote it. Don't avoid it. Just don't go there. So these are important things, and you can look at each one of them. Disputes, that's always the case. But genealogies, okay? You don't know who I'm from. My grandfather started this church.
We're charter members. You've been there before.
Been there, heard it. I've not only been there, I've heard it, you know? I paid for every brick in this building here,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Contentions, strivings, but about the law. Debating over things that really, you know, we better keep the main thing, and not get sidetracked on these trails.
Yeah, the best evangelism is not to argue the minor points. It's to proclaim the truth.
It is,
Jeff. We stay away from divisive things. And verse 10, reject a divisive man. That word divisive man is the word that we get heretic from.
We do. And I was shocked at that.
Yeah, because you think of a heretic as someone that promotes false doctrine. But a heretic is someone that promotes division or sectarianism within the church.
Wow. Notice it says, admonish him two times, but after that, put him out.
Yeah.
Don't put up with it. If he comes back, you got to do it. Hey, we're going to take phone calls. You ready?
Sounds good.
That number, 888-589-8840. We would love to have your Bible question today.
Have you ever wanted to take a boat ride on the Sea of Galilee? Raise your hand. Yeah, but in order to do that, you have to actually go to the Sea of Galilee. Hello, this is Tim Wildman, president of American Family Association and American Family Radio. We are going to Israel and to the Sea of Galilee, the Jordan River, where we'll have a baptismal service. We're going to the Dead Sea. We're going to Jerusalem and Bethlehem and Nazareth. A lot of the places you've read about in the Bible your whole life, we're going to be seeing on our annual trip of Israel, the Holy Land. If you want more information on our tour, go to wildmangroup.com, WILDMON group.com. We also have information there about the Footsteps of Paul Greece tour that's back-to-back with the Israel tour, so it's also in March of 2026. We look forward to seeing you on one of our tours.
The Lord is my Savior, so why should I doubt my victory? Would I question the rod and the staff that comforts me? He quiets the
world. Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Bert and Jeff here, and we're glad you joined us. And we couldn't help but hear that promotion right before it came on about the fishbowl. And there are rooms that are available there. We're getting there, but still rooms are available. October the 28th, 29th, and 30th, Pickwick Landing. You can go to repairingthefoundations.net and register to do that and do it today. Now, what was laughter is Jan's voice being so pleasant. So
kind.
And then they finish it off with me. I'm not sure who put that together.
Well, they put the right voice first, at least. So.
Yeah, they did. Okay. So I know my voice. I tell folks it may not be distinguished, but it is distinctive when you hear it. But it is. Hey, let's do this real quickly. Robert and Stephen, just give us about two-minute warning here. We want to finish up 12 through 15,
yep.
And it's a typical Paul conclusion, although it's smaller than a lot of them. Some of them, there's the whole chapter, you know, like Romans,
it's
the whole chapter of people here. But the names are, he's going to send Artemas and Tychius to come so that Titus can go to Nicopolis. And that's what it is. And said, you, when they get there, Tychicus is the guy that delivered the book of Ephesians. He also took the book of Colossians and Philemon. Man, he's a, he worked for, let me say, the Roman mail carrier. I know he did not, but you know what I mean? He carried. Can you imagine this guy
carrying that
those letters that are the Word of God?
Yeah.
What a responsibility. Other thing, and here's the other action word that I send. Send Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their journey with haste that they may lack nothing. These guys are with you, but send them. And let our people also learn to maintain good works, meet urgent needs, that they may not be unfruitful. Okay, I'll read verse 15, and I know you got one or two comments. All who were with me greet you. I couldn't help but think of those. All who are with me greet you. Now, listen to his comment in verse 15. Greet those who love us in the faith. In other words, those that don't love us, don't greet them. Because Paul had those that were contentious, and he knew that. He said, but those that have stuck with us, greet them. There's tenderness in that, Jeff.
Yeah,
you catch what I'm saying?
I love this letter.
I do, too. Grace be with you all. Amen. Mm. Now, you wanted to comment
I just saw one word, and it's because I'm studying Romans 7 for a Sunday school teaching, and so that chapter 7, verse 4, which is the key verse in that chapter, says that we've been married to Christ that we might bear fruit to God. That's the purpose. And so Jesus said, you did not choose me, but I chose you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should remain. When you think about your Christian life, believer, you need to be thinking about bearing fruit for God. It's the Holy Spirit that brings that fruit about. But through your good works, through your testimony, through your love of God, those good fruits are going to be manifested, and it's God's will for us that we do that. And
now, the examples that is used by Christ and by others is the vine, usually the grapevine.
Yes.
Guess what has to happen for the vines to produce? They've got to be trimmed back. Cut off.
Pruned,
so that you can bear much fruit. So for the Christian life, sometimes the pruning is difficult. Part of the pruning was Paul being imprisoned. Look how many letters he wrote while he was in prison.
Listening and they're going through difficult times as a believer. Part of it may be a pruning to bear more fruit.
Comfort one another with the same comfort you've been comforted with. In other words, when you get through with this, you're ready. I'm going to use you. Yeah. I'm going to use you when you get through. Well,
love
you
it.
Ready to go to the phone? Hey, by the way, and we do have lines open. That number is 888-589-8840. Who's first there?
Let's go to Louisiana and welcome Robert to the program. Hi, Robert. Thanks for hanging on. You're on the air.
Well, thank you, and Bert, good to hear from you, and Jeff, it's always good to hear your voice. Hey, look, I called in about a week and a half ago about my wife, Stacy, who was having surgery, and we had some very tough news from the doctor. He said, this has got to be cancer. We prayed on the air and the AFA family with us. Mm. And her pathology came back non-malignant.
Praise God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
God be the glory.
Amen, brother. Thank you.
God be the glory.
Amen. Listen.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Robert.
That's
we need that.
Yeah.
God is actually the thing that happened up in Minnesota and all the people from politicians and others talking about prayer. They were praying while they were shot. Listen, God does change things. Even when things are difficult, God is at work. Let's give a prayer of praise.
Yeah.
Robert, we're going to praise God. Father,
thank you, Lord.
Thank you for Robert calling. Mm-hmm. Thank you for Stacy, the clarity that she got on after the surgery and non-malignant. We praise your holy name,
Lord.
God, and we'll praise you no matter what. But when it works out that way, it's just overflowing. And I could hear it in Robert's voice that his thankfulness is overflowing, and we join him in
you,
this
Lord.
Overflowing. If I could sing, we'd start singing, "To God be the glory, great things he has done." So, Father, we love you, thank you, and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Hey,
woo. What a way to start them off.
Jeff, you can sing. No, I better not today, but I started saying, well, Jeff could sing to God be the glory.
Well,
we don't sing that as much as we ought to. You know,
greet him.
It is.
Fanny Crosby.
Hey, there it is again.
Yeah.
Who's next?
Let's go to North Carolina. Stephen, you're on Exploring the Word. Welcome.
Hey, great to hear y'all. Thank you for all you do. I've always been taught that once you're saved, you can't lose your salvation. And I've always loved Romans 8 because it begins with no condemnation.
Yeah.
And ends with no separation. Can you lose it? Thank you.
Okay, Stephen. Thank you. Listen, the cliche is once saved, always saved. I think that cliche could be improved.
Yeah, I do. I
if
agree.
You are saved, you will remain saved. Really. I think that there's some scriptures that look at it, but if you look at the context, a lot of it is in eschatology about during the tribulation period, those that, you know, remain faithful to the end. And again, that's those.
Right.
And Hebrews 6, I understand a little bit there. It's difficult, but the overwhelming majority of the scriptures is that security we have in Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I think part of that security is heeding those warnings not to fall away. That's part of our being held by
Continue.
Him. Continuing on. God is at work in the believer to bring to completion what he has started. If he justifies you, as Paul says in Romans 8, whom he justified, these he also glorified.
Hallelujah.
Past tense.
Right.
And so all of it is together. If you've been justified, you're going to be sanctified. How much? Well, that depends upon how much you give over to the Spirit. But you're going to be glorified and resurrected, and that's God's plan.
Stephen, God does his work in us. Being confident of this very thing, Philippians 1:6, he who began this work in you will what? Complete it unto the day of Christ Jesus. If I'm just going to talk this for a minute. If I did not know, if I thought I was saved, and I was letting sin dominate my life, and I was questioning it, I just want to tell you, I'd go to God fresh in you. I'd rather. Here's what's happened in a lot of folks. Pastoring as long as I have, Jeff, right. I've seen a lot and talked to a lot of people. I've talked to people, they said, you know, I need to be saved. And, man, we'd go, and, man, they had peace. And then they started examining what had happened to them earlier in life. And they came, you know, I really believe I was saved then, but I got off track and let God down. I didn't do it. But either, you know, but said if it hadn't been for that time where I was questioning it, I don't think I'd have come to the realization. For me, I saved when I was 12. When I was around 16 years old, I remember laying in bed on a Sunday night, am I really saved? Lord, I'm not sure if I'm saved or not. Just doubts was flooding my soul, you know. And all of a sudden, I said something that really, I don't know. And I said this out loud. I said, God, if I go to hell, I'm going to go to hell believing in Jesus. And all of a sudden, when I heard myself saying that, I understood. I said, Bert, that word, you've trusted Christ. You're secure in him.
Yeah,
now live
good.
Like it.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to say it. I'm going to go ahead and say it. There's a greater change in my life after that than there was as a 12-year-old boy. As a 12-year-old boy, I was fearful and afraid, and God did help me there. But, you know, as I got older and I started driving, started, you know, doing things that was responsible, I started doubting. But that night, God reaffirmed my salvation, and I have not doubted it, you know, since.
Yeah.
That's what God does. Yeah. Stephen, thank you for calling.
Thank you for calling, Stephen. Let's go to Patrick next, who's calling in from Texas. Welcome to Exploring the Word, Patrick. Hello, Patrick. Are you there? All right.
I'm sorry. I had this crazy phone on mute, partner. Hold on.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I got a real, real crummy phone.
That's okay.
Bear with me.
That's all right.
I've got a question for you. What in the world is Eckencar? I've got a friend that's suffering really bad from multiple sclerosis, partner, and I pray for her all the time. But when I heard her, she was studying Eckencar, it just blew my mind, and red flags went off all over the place. Can you tell me anything about it? Because I don't believe it.
I have not heard it.
I've heard the term, and I think it's, you know, it's a false religion.
Yeah.
I don't know the specifics of it. It doesn't matter. Honestly, it's not the gospel. So, so what do you think? Is the question that you should continue praying for her?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, you need to pray for her in the name of Jesus and let her know. And again, sometimes it's difficult, but here's what I came to be in front of my family, in front of my friends. I was going to be who I am in Christ, regardless, you know, regardless of their thoughts, regardless of what their religious affiliation was. I've trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. So, Patrick, what you do, you pray for her. Just say, Lord, deliverance. And I believe God can do it. Now, I would do this. Pray for someone else to come alongside her, another female, to come alongside her that is a strong Christian, and let her see that. I've seen that work a lot. Hmm. You know, it's just coming alongside them. And so we're here. Yeah, I'm going to push. But there's somebody else that God has in mind, his agents out there that come alongside someone who is lost, who is going a different way, and pray that God would bring a strong, godly believer beside them. I think that's kind of what we started studying today in Titus chapter 3, Jeff.
Yeah, that's good.
Because we were talking about this is the way you once were, but you're not this way anymore, and they need to see these works and these things that's happened in your life that they might start examining themselves.
Yeah.
And so that's what you do.
God can reach her, Patrick. Thanks for calling in. The number to call is 888-589-8840 for your prayer, for any prayer needs that you have or for a question. Russell is calling in from North Carolina. Hi, Russell. You're on Exploring the Word.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I really want to thank you for the program that you guys have. I listen to you on my phone. I have the app, and I listen to you on the radio as often as I can. I'm not calling in with a question, but I'm calling in for a prayer request from my younger brother, Brian Hessen, addictions to alcohol and smoking and others. But I ask for prayer for him to overcome these addictions.
Okay. Brian is his first name. Russell?
Yes. Well, it's Charles, but Brian.
Brian's what he goes by. Well, I go by my middle name as well. But we're going to do that. Everybody that's a prayer warrior that's listening, if you don't write it down, remember it, and let's bombard heaven for Russell's brother, Brian. Listen, addictions are, listen, they're, I'm familiar with it, been around it a lot. You know I would. Right now, know someone dealing with it. And the two words have come up with Russell that but it's true with everyone. And I've used them. I used it yesterday. First is they've got to surrender, you know, come to the place. I surrender to you, God. No more of this. I surrender to you, not alcohol, not drugs. I surrender to you. And then cooperate with God. Cooperate with him. That means obeying him. That means the area of praying, seeking God's word. It also may mean treatment. Cooperate with him.
That's good.
Getting help. But those two words, I believe with all my heart, if we can do that in just about everything, surrender, and then cooperate with God. I believe it makes the biggest difference in the world, Jeff, those two words. And I know they're a little different, but when it means trust, it means faith, it means sanctification, the whole thing.
Yeah.
So would you mind praying for Brian?
Father in heaven, thank you for your goodness, Lord. We've already celebrated your wonderful work in the life of an individual today, and we bring Brian before you now, Lord. And his brother Russell has called it, Lord. You know what's on his heart. You know the love that he has for his brother, and he's interceding. And now, Lord, we join with him and with our audience, and we pray, Lord God, that you would deliver Brian from all of these addictions. Lord, that he would walk in fellowship with you, that he would surrender and to cooperate with your spirit, and that you would do great and marvelous things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jeff, thank you for being with us.
My joy.
Have you enjoyed Titus?
I loved it. Yeah.
It did. I really did. Great work. Good study. Good thoughts bringing it to us. Thank you, man, so much. Well, you've been listening to Exploring the Word. Alex McFarland to be back tomorrow, and it will be Fire Away Friday where we take your questions the whole hour. And so we're looking forward to that. But until then, Just start living for the Lord Jesus. Surrender to Him. Cooperate with Him. Let Him do His work in your life that will just amaze so people can see your good works and glorify the Father who's in heaven. Tell someone about exploring the Word, but more importantly, tell them about Jesus.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.